In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Someone has said, "Man spends his life regretting the past, complaining about the present, and fearing the future." Well, in Christ, we can be forgiven for our past. We're encouraged to be grateful for the present, and we're taught to be hopeful in anticipating the future. And when the Creator tells us to take heart, when the Master says we should not fear, when the Lord Himself says, "Calm down, peace be still," we need to listen and we need to take heart. We're going to spend a few minutes looking at Psalm 46 this evening. Before we get into that and before we read it, I want to first point out that the word translated God in this psalm is a Hebrew word, Elohim, which is found seven times in this particular psalm. And the root of the word is the idea of strength and power. This psalm is classified as a psalm of trust, and its fundamental message is that God is our defense. God is our refuge. He is our deliverer. He is our peace. And so, as I indicated a moment ago, I want to begin by reading the 46th Psalm from the New International Version. It says, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields or chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Take this section at a time. The psalm can break itself down nicely into three sections, verses 1 through 3, verse 4 through 7, and verses 8 through 11. Verses 1 through 3 are a celebration of God as our refuge. Verse 1 again says, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." Notice that the psalm begins not with a lament, not with a cry for help, but it begins with a declaration of who God is. God is our refuge. He is a place of rest. He is a place of protection. The Psalms regularly use imagery of a fortress to describe God. The New King James uses the word refuge three times in this psalm, verse 1, verse 7, and verse 11. The New International Version and the New American Standard Version renders the word in verses 7 and 11 as fortress in the New International and stronghold in the New American Standard. But this place, a fortress, a refuge, a stronghold, was literally a high place, like a tower, far above the reach of enemies. In the ancient Middle East, cities were built on heights with high walls for defenses. And though none were impenetrable, the God of Jacob, we are assured, is a sure defense. God is also said to be our strength in verse 1, our source of strength. And so with the assurance that this is our God, as he has just described, the psalmist confidently says in verses 2 and 3, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we could repeat it again, we will not fear. This is poetic language describing turmoil. Though the earth be moved or shaken, though the earth be destroyed, in essence, though the mountains be carried into the sea, the mountains, the most established things on the earth, what if they were carried away? Such a horrific sight. Though the seas roar and be troubled, possibly a reference to tidal waves, though the mountains shake with their swelling, some surmise it could refer to volcanic eruptions. I'm not sure that any of that's in. It's just talking about such a horrific event. It seems the psalmist is suggesting the worst thing that you could fathom. When things are completely out of your control, what if the war, what if the struggle were on a cosmic level, not just an ordinary war? What if it involved actually shaking the mountains and these other things that he described? What if it was so terrible as that? He's saying it makes no difference. We will not fear. Our God is a refuge for his people. He is a refuge against everything, real or imagined. And so the psalmist states emphatically, we will not fear no matter how bad things get, even if the natural order is overturned. You may say, well, sometimes I don't feel that way. I don't have that kind of confidence. Well, that's what the psalm is for. The psalmist is encouraging us to know and to be assured. Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a storm that caught a vessel off a rocky coast and threatened to drive it and the passengers to destruction. He wrote, "In the midst of the terror, one daring man, contrary to orders, went to the deck, made a dangerous passage to the pilot house, and saw the steerman at his post holding the wheel unwaveringly. And inch by inch, he turned the ship out once more to sea. The pilot saw the man watching, and he smiled." That's the pilot smiled. "The daring passenger," Stevenson goes on to say, "went below and gave out a note of cheer. He said, 'I have seen the face of the pilot,' and he smiled. All is well." That's what the psalmist is saying here. Even in the face of disaster, though the earth be shaken, though the mountains be thrown into the sea, though these terrible things happen, we will not fear. Our God is in control. Our God is a refuge. Verses 4 through 7 are a celebration of God as our deliverer. Part of the text says, God shall help her. Reading verses 4 through 7, "There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Verse 4 speaks of his protection. "There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High." This is a picture of peace. It's a picture of calm. River is a metaphor for blessing, for restoration. Psalm 1 talks about the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Then verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. In Psalm 46, verse 4, the city there would seem obviously to refer to Jerusalem, but it's also a metaphor for the people of God. The psalmist is saying peace, calm, and gladness belong to the people of God because they enjoy the blessings of God. Verse 5 speaks of God's presence, saying God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. God is in the midst of her. As long as God is in a place and he's there for the purpose of protection, there is no need to fear. And so she shall not be moved. God shall help her, he says. That is, he will move to meet her needs. Surrounded by a world of flame, God dwells with his people. He is always there to be counted on. He's not just there occasionally. Remember Elijah taunting the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel? Maybe your God's meditating. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's taking a nap. Not so with the God of Jacob. God, we're told, will help her, help his people early. The text says at the break of dawn. That is, at the first appropriate moment. Sometimes you may feel that God is not there, that God is napping. Maybe he's on a journey because you don't feel like he's responding, that he's not aware. Sometimes God hasn't come because we've not yet asked. But sometimes if his help has not come, it's simply not yet the proper moment for it to come. If problems get removed from our lives too quickly, we don't learn valuable lessons. Verse 6 goes on to speak of God's power. It says, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The nations raged, possibly referring to turmoil from without. Well, likely that, but I'm thinking perhaps, without knowing for certainty when the psalm was written and by whom and so forth, could be a reference to what happened with the Assyrians, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, when he approached Hezekiah, who was king of Judah at the time. 2 Chronicles 32 is the reference, a few chapters there. Kingdoms were moved, he says, describing men in uproar, and yet we're told that God uttered his voice and the earth melted. All God had to do was speak. All was still, all stopped before his word. If this portion has been talking about the Assyrian conflict, then it's likely that the earth melting refers to the destruction of the 185,000 Assyrian troops there in 2 Chronicles. When faced with this formidable foe, Hezekiah spoke to the people in 2 Chronicles 32, verses 7 and 8, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Then later in verse 21, the text says, then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, every leader and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned shamefaced to his own land. And when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring struck him down with the sword there. Just as God spoke and all things came into existence, just as God spoke and the earth melted, just as God spoke and the enemies were crushed, just as Jesus spoke and the wind and the waves were calmed, God's word still has the power to change lives, including the hearts and the lives of even the most wicked of men. Verses 4, 5, and 6 spoke of God's protection, God's presence, and God's power. Now verse 7 speaks of God's promise. It says, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of armies, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Jehovah, the word is used there, Lord in all caps. The commander of the armies of angels is with us. And there's our word refuge again, translated fortress or stronghold in those other translations. In this verse, God is called the God of Jacob. He's called that again in verse 11. Seems to bring it to a personal level. The God of his people is the one who comes to our aid. Some question why he says the God of Jacob here. Some actually suggest a negative connotation in this, but I'm not convinced of that. They point out that Jacob means the supplanter, the cheater. And then they ask, why would the psalmist use Jacob instead of saying the God of Israel? They suggest that the psalmist is saying that our God is the God of sinful men. Might be a valid point if the phrase were not used several other times in the Psalms and elsewhere, clearly without any negative component. For example, Psalm 75, verse 9 says, I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. No negative connotation seeming there. Psalm 81, verse 1, sing aloud to God our strength, make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Psalm 84, verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Psalm 114, verse 7, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, says Psalm 146, verse 5, whose hope is the Lord is God. Verses 1 through 3 say that God is our refuge. Verses 4 through 7 say that God is our deliverer. And verses 8 through 11 are a celebration of God as our peace. Part of the text says he makes wars cease. He is the God of peace, if you will. Reading those verses, beginning in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 8 is an invitation. He says, come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. Come, behold what God has done, he's saying. This is an invitation to view the overthrow of men and nations. This is an invitation to witness the judgment of God upon the unrighteous as he defends the faithful. Verse 9 is a statement of judgment and peace. Again, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Bringing judgment and peace, breaking the bow, shattering the spear. He makes all human weapons ineffectual. The burning of the chariot was a practice that was commonly done to keep these weapons from being used against them. at a later date. You remember when the Egyptians were pursuing the Israelites and God destroyed the weapons and the chariots in the sea. Verses 10 and 11 are an assurance. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts," there's Jehovah again, "is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Be still. You like that when you're facing terrible circumstances, extreme difficulties, and somebody just says, just be still. Just hold on. Just wait. You like that? Be still. Let your hand sink down. Be calm. Be restful. More than that, be confident. Not enough just to sit there and do nothing. Okay, I'm doing nothing. Let the matter rest with God. Don't raise your hand to it. Catherine von Schlegel wrote the song, "Be Still My Soul," number 373 in your songbook. She wrote it based on verse 10 of this psalm. Be still. Again, remember the Red Sea, remember the armies of Pharaoh approaching, and God said, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. See the evidence and believe the fact and all that it means." Though it was tempting to rely on alliances with foreign powers, though the temptation was there to rely on military strength, God's people must learn to rely on and to put their trust in the Father in heaven. God says, "I will be exalted," in this text. He is saying, "Rest assured that I will show myself strong in behalf of my people." Numerous times in the Old Testament, the world was made to marvel at God's power. There will come a time, when every knee shall bow. The psalmist is telling us that God is there for his people. And these are wonderful thoughts. They are comforting thoughts. But we need to understand that God is not there just for our convenience. He's not there just to get us out of trouble every time we get ourselves into it. He's not there just to comfort us all the time. Paul Powell wrote, "God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. His goal is not to pamper us physically, but to perfect us spiritually." But that doesn't change the fact that God is there for us and that he will take care of us. Just as God has promised these things to his people, or had promised them to his people under the old covenant, the church of God can now confidently appeal to him for help and rest assured that he is still supreme over all things, that he has not only promised, but he will also grant her his protection. She will enjoy peace in the midst of the storms of war. She will enjoy peace during the tumults of the world. The world is in a constant state of unrest. It's in a constant state of turmoil. But the living, the almighty, the gracious God is in the midst of his people, the church. In a very concise way, just to quickly review the previous points, the entire psalm is a psalm of trust. It is a psalm of celebration of God as our defense. Even though the earth is moved, we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. Even though the nations rage, God's protection, his presence, his power, and his promises are ours. Even when the Lord brings judgment, since we are his people, he says, "Just be still. I am God, and I will be exalted." Martin Luther played a pivotal role in the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. He endured a lot of persecution from the Catholic Church for daring to stand for what he believed the Bible taught. The 46th Psalm was the basis for Luther's Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress. This psalm has been called Luther's Psalm. It's what he would sing in times of trouble. It's said that when times were dark, when the enemies of truth appeared to triumph, when disaster seemed to come over the cause in which he was engaged, and the friends of the Reformation were dispirited, disheartened, and sad, he was accustomed to say to his fellow laborers, "Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm." Like the rest of the world, we sometimes wring our hands and we fret because things are going wrong. Someone has said you can't wring your hands and roll up your sleeves at the same time. That's true, but so many times things are just out of our hands. Rolling up our sleeves is not of any benefit anyway. Things are out of our control. But they are in God's hands. And ultimately, they are in God's control. And rather than put our confidence in earthly things, we have every reason to put our confidence in the Lord of angelic armies, the God of Jacob, Emmanuel, God with us. And since God is faithful, there can be no true danger to his cause or to his people. And so let the bad come to the worst. A child of God needs never give way to doubt or mistrust, because the Creator and the Keeper of the universe is on our side. He will come to our aid. Peter says to cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. Quoting Psalm 118, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13:6, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?"